Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. This is going to be a fun one. For those of you who have followed my career over four decades in my early days as the music critic at the Baltimore Evening Sun, and even before that, the Baltimore News American in 1984 and 85, this is going to be a piece for you. I once sat down and had dinner with Paul Stanley of Kiss, and as they've made their way through their farewell tour, and the end of their cycle after 50 years of doing this in Baltimore at CFG Bank Arena, I unearthed and found my interview with Paul Stanley from July 10th, 1990. It was on the Hot in the Shade tour at the Patriot Center, and I was supposed to sit down with Paul before the show, and it didn't happen, and then I was supposed to meet with him before the show, and it didn't happen, and I wound up on a payphone outside the Patriot Center calling him in his hotel room, and he said to me, "Meet me in my hotel room after the show, and I'll do the interview with you. It'll be better then." Kevin Eck, my longtime friend, many of you know through the wrestling world or through the newspaper world or the wrestling magazine world. Kevin Eck's my best friend growing up, and he was with me, also much larger Kiss fan than even I at that point, and still is, was with me, and we went to the Dulles Hyatt Hotel after the concert in Fairfax, Virginia, on the evening of July 10th. It was early in the morning of July 11th of 1990, about 12:30 at night, that Paul Stanley and I got together in his hotel suite. He could not have been a better guy. I just want to make this clear, because the beginning of the interview is kind of funny, because there were groupies in the hallways trying to get into his hotel suite. So I guess that's sort of the missing part of this whole interview, is that there were literally groupies banging on the door. And I knew what room he was in. I walked, I knocked on the door, he let me in, he answered the door in a white robe. He had just gotten out of the shower, no makeup, this was not the makeup period. And he had me in, and we just, he said, "Where do you want to sit? Have you had dinner? Do you want to order some food?" He ordered me chicken, broccoli, and rice, because he wanted me to eat healthy. And he offered me a Diet Pepsi. He autographed a Diet Pepsi and sent it to Kevin Eck as we left. And I did not get a picture with him. I did not have a camera, but I did have a tape recorder. And the tape recorder sat on the corner, and I tape recorded 24 and a half minutes of this. I wrote a piece for the Baltimore Sun that wound up on the Times Mirror, at that time called The Wire, where all of the rock critics and music critics and writings of all the Baltimore Sun, Detroit Free Press, a whole bunch of newspapers, LA Times, Orlando Sentinel, all wound up on a wire. So one of the reasons Paul Stanley sat with me is that he knew me because I had interviewed him in 1984 when I was 16 years old at the News American, and I met him at the Baltimore Civic Center then before the show. If you've ever seen the photo of me with Steven Tyler, same era, 1985, I was 16 years old. Excuse me, 1984, I was 16 years old. And then in 1990, Paul Stanley knew me. So that's kind of how I got the interview, kind of how I got invited to the Dulles Hyatt, kind of how I wound up in his hotel suite with groupies banging on the door. And I want to give a special thanks to Greg Landry of Towson Transfers for putting this audio back together. I don't know whether it's the original audio or the helium in it or the batteries in it or the speed of the tape. But either way, it's been pretty well restored, and it really does sound like me and Paul Stanley, because it was. This is from July 11th in the early mornings after a Patriot Center show on the Hot in the Shade tour. Enjoy my dinner with the legendary Paul Stanley. And sometimes I still have to pinch myself to believe that this stuff actually happened, and I have evidence 35 years later.
Are you working?
Still working.
Working, yes sir, it's working.
So how do you run?
How do you deal with it? I mean, as far as running around, I mean, I guess you're used to it by now, but would you like being out on the roof and being alone at a hotel at night, or?
Well, being alone is my choice.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you may not always have the company that you would want, ideally, but being alone is never, you know, that's your choice. I mean, company is never a problem. It's whether or not you want it.
Are you getting too old to be out of company every night and running around parties?
Gee, I would hope that, you know.
This is something you never want to see reporters see.
Yeah.
You did our own property.
Well, you know, I would hope that women and a good time go well into my years, or whatever we want to call them. I think I'm short-term on that.
Are you platinum in 12 years.
Jesus Christ. I only use harmony, the platinum ones.
As far as the show goes, he was talking about a 2.5 hour show before the thing began. Well, I guess in Muppet it wasn't 2.5 hour show.
Well, a couple of things. You know, there was a car accident last week, so we canceled one show. And these shows were a bit, you know, I mean, quite honestly, it's kind of difficult to do a show because, I mean, I walked out of this car with an laser. I was down a highway accident last week.
What happened?
I was coming from Massachusetts after a show. I wanted to be in New York on July 4th. I was sitting in the back of a car and somebody was driving. And I think they went across a couple of lanes to try to get to an exit that they were missing.
High-speed accident?
Uh-huh. And another car skidded and went head first into the side of our car, and then we lost control for 200 feet and knocked down a highway light, and then went into head first into granite wall, and went flying over the back seat and into the underneath the dashboard. So we've done, you know. Everybody walked in.
You're not straight, or you're fucked up?
No, I'm just real, you know, I'm just inwardly.
I couldn't run around tonight. I know you weren't doing this.
I wasn't doing anything. I mean, it was quite awesome. Tonight was very, very difficult. Yeah, I mean, tonight was, I just got a call from the production. I had to perform, you know, really, really hard.
So how, man, why not cut a few songs?
Well, it's not even a matter of cutting songs. You know, you're trying to, you try to do the performance people expect from you, and when you can't, you know, you don't make excuses. I mean, cutting songs wouldn't be the answer.
The show goes on.
Well, yeah. I mean, it does go on, although there's still a chance some shows may have to cancel. Because it's,
Right. I talked to Ace. Come on, man. Talking about that show, that song, and why it was 2.5 and now it's not.
Well, I think the show will be. The show runs probably about, not tonight, there's a drum solo. The show will probably, I think it runs somewhere around 2:10. I don't know what it ran.
Did you ever cut things from Muppet though?
Oh, God, yeah.
I heard you guys were doing like 15, 16. And...
No, we weren't doing Christine, but we were doing, God, I can't remember.
Like, I'm wrong. I'm thinking, I guess one thing I heard about.
Well, let me think. What did we cut? We cut Hell or High Water. We cut Come On and Love Me. Hey, Come On Love Me sounded fabulous. I mean, it sounds...
Oh, I don't tell you that. Tell me.
Yeah. Yeah, Come On, Love Me sounded fabulous. The thing is that out of diplomacy, you know, when you start dropping songs to cut, I think, unfortunately, you can get too much of a good thing.
Right.
And the show was running too long.
Is there a reason to live, or?
No. We were doing Little Caesar. We were doing, I think we dropped probably about 4 songs.
Okay.
And the show was just too long. And
she got 3 acts too, so.
Yeah, and the truth is, you know, you're trying to build something and find that delicate balance where it's enough but not too much.
Right.
And we felt it was just too much.
Right.
So we cut a couple of songs. And some people thought we should drop Come On and Love Me. And I figured, well, what the hell, you know?
Yeah, one problem that I liked that I didn't know was on Twisted Ends is that 8 songs in the end. It's for some reason out. That's probably why I didn't know because I was a freak when I was a kid.
Yeah,
it's one of the last 3 albums, I'm sure.
Really? I don't know.
Oh, whatever. Putting this album together in the studio, did you know Forever was going to be a hit? I mean, did you?
Well, you know, I know it was a great song, but truthfully, there are a lot of great songs that sometimes don't seem to become hits, and that's because of politics and because of things outside of your control. So I thought it was a great song. Was it going to become a hit? I hope so, but it's out of my hands.
Right. So when you and Michael put that together, is that like a strictly a guitar piece you two did?
Oh, it was just...
you guys were talking about
it? Yeah. You know, it's one of those situations where you talk a lot and talk
and say, hey, we got to write one of these days, and we never do. And we were sitting at the hotel in L.A. that we both stay at, and we were sitting outside eating, and it was just saying, oh, we got to write one of these days.
You live in a hotel?
When I'm in L.A.?
Yeah.
I had a house for a while, but this time I wrote all the songs in a hotel for the last album.
Tell me about Desmond Chow. He's a story that's never been written about. Nobody knows what he looks like, and he's probably the richest man in America.
There was just a magazine with a picture of him, and I threw it away.
You read it, yeah?
Yeah, sure. I mean, why not?
Yeah. So tell me about Desmond.
Desmond's a real, obviously he's very talented. I've known him
forever.
He's very talented. We don't work together all that much anymore. But he's more than proven himself as a great songwriter and a great producer. You know, I mean,
you wrote the song in terms of gold?
I remember when I first met Desmond, he had this great band called Desmond Child and Rouge. And they used to play clubs, little clubs in New York. Three girl singers and Desmond and a great band. And they were the hottest band I saw in years.
I'm going to go story him one day. I'm going to find him. I don't even know how I'm going to even find him.
Oh, you can find him real easily. He's in L.A.
Why no more Simmons Stanley collaborations?
The truth about that is that there's really a misconception. It's a fallacy when people believe that we did a lot of writing together, because we never really have. Some of the early stuff has our names on it, but not much of it. If you want to,
the perception you guys, when you were struggling in poor New York, of writing the Strutters and the Black Diamonds and the Deuces and the Cold Truth.
Truth is, I don't know. I mean, if you ask me which songs have both our names on it, I couldn't tell you. Strutter, I know, does. Black Diamond, I don't think does. I think that's my song. But that's what I mean. I can't even tell you. Well, it's not even so long ago, but when you're working together, it's collaborative in the sense that everybody brings in ideas to the song. The song is usually written. Rock and Roll All Night was a collaboration. Shout Out Loud was. But there really haven't been that many. Was Love Gun a collaboration? No. Was Detroit Rock City? No. A lot of them really weren't. I had nothing to do with Dr. Love.
Getting back to the show, why the greatest Kiss format, why are you bringing all these songs out of the closet now when my buddy who's a Kiss freak and me, who used to be a Kiss freak, wanted to hear these songs in 1984 the last time I talked to you? And I went and I got Strutter or Detroit Rock City, but it was mostly Licking Off and it was mostly Animalized and it was mostly Crazy Nights.
Well, because this time we wanted to do a Kiss show that no other band can. Any band can light off fireworks on stage. Any band can play 23 albums worth of songs. We felt at this point, let's do a real
big
and big, not only in the sense of staging, but let's do a big show in the sense that we'll do all the material or a bit of all the different periods. And there's a lot of great material that for some reason we stopped doing because we felt that, I don't know, that people wanted to hear the more recent stuff, or I don't know.
Did you really felt that way, or did you feel like you wanted to perform the recent stuff?
Well,
you were tired of doing this.
No. It's hard to say, but sometimes you second guess the audience and you can be wrong. The truth is that even the fans that have only gotten into the last four or five albums know Shout It Out Loud. They know Rock and Roll All Night. They know all those songs. So we also had a problem before in that we always did like an hour and a half show. And in that hour and a half, everybody got a solo. I think for the most part, solos are bullshit. I mean, they're a waste of time. They're stroking your own ego at the expense of the audience who want to hear songs. And
think if there's anybody that might be on, it's like mediocre, you know.
Well, it's like the self-indulgent kind of crap, and I'm totally against solos unless you can show me something really worth seeing. I mean, you know.
I saw Tommy Lee last week, and that was the best part of the show. You know, I saw Steve Vai the other night. Fine, but don't give me, you know. I don't want to. He's playing guitarist, asking me.
You know, I mean, you may want to hear Steve Vai do a solo, but you don't want Joe Schmo, you know, the bass player, and then, you know, John Doe, the guitar player, you know, and then it just turns into a jerking off, you know, or how should we put that, manual manipulation. So I thought that, so we were always kind of like confined by the fact that we were doing an hour and a half. Everybody wanted to go into the spotlight and in essence yell me, you know, and we just, well, you think you're so important that you're actually doing something. All you're doing is being a ham, you know. And
Kiss wasn't about hams.
Well, I think, you know, like a lot of other bands, it got a little overboard.
Which was that with Damon.
Yeah, you know. You know, the whole idea of everybody doing solos is just, it's boring, self-indulgent, waste of time, and it would be better spent playing more songs. So, once we did away with the solos, we had room for more songs. But then we kept adding more and more songs, and the show just got longer and longer. So, I think now we're doing 23 songs. That's a pretty hefty show.
Sure. I get back to Ace. I talked to Ace about 4 months ago, and he gave me this big spiel about how you guys were considering, before the album came out, your album, considering a reunion. It might happen. It could happen next year. The only way I'd do it is if I went back with makeup.
Right.
Was this to your knowledge, or what would happen if this album came out and sold 22 copies like Creatures of the Night?
Doesn't matter. I think Ace considers rejoining the band every day of his life. But he can't.
Bruce and Eric are busted.
Absolutely. You know, Mickey Mantle isn't rejoining the Yankees, you know. The idea of,
say, Reggie Jackson, something.
The fact is that the idea that somebody who was either asked to leave or left because things weren't working would suddenly find their way back in totally negates why it didn't work in the first place. Why would you want to go back to a situation that wasn't working? Except money, and that doesn't interest me at all.
You've had enough of it.
Well, whatever my financial situation is or isn't, you know, is almost. I mean, that's irrelevant. You do things because they're fun at this point. I can't imagine. It's very unappealing to me. The thought of getting together with the original guys in the band, there's no point. It's like, what are we going to do together? The whole idea that by putting four people who once played together again, you'll have the same band is absurd. You know, it's absurd because everybody grows in different directions and everybody finds different things that they like. And to think that because you put the same four people together who were together 15 years ago, you have the same band, it's ridiculous. And that's not even taking into account whether or not those people can still play. There is no talk of a reunion. And I hear it all the time. But the only talk of the reunion comes from people who would like to be in this band. So, you know, I mean, I don't want to dwell on it, but last time I ran into Ace, which was how long ago? About 6 months ago.
Okay.
He was very insistent on the idea of a reunion. And I was real happy to see him. I ran into him in the club. I said, with a smile, I said, no, you're not interested. He said, yes. I said, no. He said, yes. And then I think I hugged him and left.
Oh, what about Peter? Do you see him?
No.
Never?
No. Peter has virtually as far as I'm concerned, disappeared. I think Gene has spoken to him.
He worked on Ace's album a little bit.
Yeah.
And he said Peter's just living a quiet life and just doing his thing.
Yeah, I haven't...
If you wouldn't quit in 1980 like Peter did...
There wouldn't be a band.
I was like, did you have enough money at that point to just stop and just go live in the country and do your own thing?
Well, you have to realize that... You know, in the 70s, we were certainly between merchandise and playing stadiums and doing what we were doing. There was no shortage of money, but the money, you know, the money was never the issue.
Is it possible for that kind of money to dry up? That's all I'm saying.
It's possible, well, to have Donald Trump.
You know, it's just fake money, it's just real.
Yeah, well, you know.
I'm just saying, what would motivate Peter to just... We see the kind of guy that you saw disappearing from the face of the planet for 10 years.
I think it's well documented that some of the guys in the band had some problems. And maybe it's better for them and it saved their lives to not be a part of this anymore. Because kids can kill you.
Is it a circus?
I don't know if it's a circus. It may be like a kamikaze squad. I really wish those guys the best, but there is an audience out there who wouldn't know Peter Criss if he bit them.
Nobody knows what he looks like. I wouldn't know if he put him in the lineup.
And there's a lot of people who don't know who Ace Frehley is. And that's not to slight him, but Kiss is Bruce and Eric and me and Gene. And the idea of, like, changing that to bring back situations that were not working.
You were happy.
They weren't happy. We were all unhappy. You know, one person left and one person was asked to leave. And why would we want to go back to that? You know, just everybody will see it the way they want. And if they left because of not being able to do things their way, it's always interesting when people leave Kiss or are asked to leave, they always leave under the delusion that the band is holding them back from being the genius that they are. Well, I've yet to see anybody leave this band who takes the world by storm.
Well, then he's done, right? As far, I mean, his band members are Slaughter, right?
Yeah. Slaughter is his band. I mean, so... I don't want to rag on people. I really don't. I'm trying to be diplomatic about this. I wish everybody was been in the band the best, but people tend to leave thinking that they're the geniuses of the band or the force behind the band, and somehow the band never crumbles when they leave and they never attain the success that they think they're capable of. So I'm real happy. You know, this band is everything that I would like it to be. And the challenge for us and what's left for us to do is to continue.
And disappointed you at some point when the crowd is smaller tonight in a smaller place.
When you know you've conquered
Peter Martin. I'm not talking the setting, I'm talking conquered places 4 or 5 years ago.
Well,
and a crossover hit.
Well, it's interesting because there's no rhyme or reason right now. Some of the cities, this tour has been, for the most part, real, real good. There are some areas that have been very soft. It's strange when in one city you have 17,000 people, and then 100 miles away you have 5 or 6. There's no rhyme or reason for it, but I also keep in mind, I mean, that there's other bands, like Whitesnake, who just canceled their tour and went home.
I saw them 3 nights ago.
It's finished. Tour's done. Over. You can't always maintain the level of success that you have at your peak. And your peak isn't always one time.
You once told me, Andy, that if it's good, it'll come back.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, it doesn't.
So it doesn't matter whether tonight is 6,000 or 16,000. We win by surviving. We're the winners because we're still around.
George Foreman.
I think we have a little less slab than he does. But I remember, you know, before the Who started with their We're Breaking Up tours, those guys couldn't sell tickets. And then the other side of the coin is there's the Stones, who can play stadiums and usually can't sell albums. So, I mean, it's not always what it appears to be.
The Dead has the same problem.
And there's the Dead, who are phenomenal in terms of fan devotion and playing stadiums and don't sell records. So, my point is only that being big and being legends or being thought of highly or whatever isn't always because of the same things. It goes way beyond how many people you have per night or how many records you sell. And that's why people on the street know the name Kiss and probably don't know a lot of the bands that are selling a lot more records right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, you guys got your name around certainly in the 70s forever.
Well,
how much did the cartoon immature the band?
Well, I think,
you weren't Paul. You weren't the Paul I'm sitting here talking. You were the guy with the star, and that's
right.
What you were.
I think that was great. I think it was fine, and it was good for that time. But everything changes, and as people, and we are people, people change. Comic books don't. So Superman in the comic can be the same as he was 30 years ago. But since those comics were based on us, we changed, and we felt it was time to let that stuff go. Real proud of it, but
then why shoot the video?
Oh, because the video is acknowledging our past. That's something we're real proud of. Cartoons and comic books, that's not the same thing. I mean, we did all that, and we did dolls and all that stuff because our fans wanted it. We're not doing that now because there's no reason to do it. We're a band with a history we're real proud of, and in rise to it, putting on the makeup was really a way for us to show the fans that there really is no separation between Kiss yesterday and Kiss today. It's a continuing epic, continuing saga. It's like this warped story that just keeps going. And what we wanted to show is that when we started in the early days, we used to sit around and talk about whether or not we could take off the makeup or what it would be like in the future. And it's the same band today that it was then. So we're real proud. I would have a real problem with putting on makeup and recreating the past as a way to sell tickets or do a show. I have no desire to do an oldie show in the sense that we recreate who we once were. And the makeup in the video was kind of like a flashback. It's not today. And for us to put on that makeup and go out and do a tour would be, to me, wrong.
And that was my sit-down with Paul Stanley on the Hot in the Shade Tour 1990, the legendary Hall of Fame lead guitarist and the protagonist in the great band Kiss. I never sat with Gene Simmons. I was not at night shift that night that he was there, but I'd love to have Gene Simmons on the show. And if anybody ever sees Paul Stanley, tell him that the guy from Baltimore, Nestor, the music critic guy, really thought he was a great guy, because he really was. And he went above and beyond. Many times folks ask me who are the most interesting people I've interviewed, or who the best interviews, or who the old rock stars that were kind to me. Paul Stanley had me up for dinner one night in his hotel suite, and there goes your evidence. You're listening to WNSD AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking the history of rock and roll and the greatest band in the world. Stay with us.